You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Yesterday, of course, was Waitangi Day, the day we commemorate the signing of New Zealand's founding document, the Treaty of Waitangi. Things were relatively quiet this year, although there was the issue of the media ban at Te Ti Marae and the Prime Minister deciding not to show up to Waitangi itself. On Sunday, I was fortunate enough to attend a special Vice New Zealand panel discussion on what Waitangi means today, and I filed this report. Yesterday was Waitangi Day, the day we observe each year to commemorate the signing of the Treaty of Waitangi. The Treaty of Waitangi, of course, is New Zealand's founding document and was signed in 1840 on February 6 by representatives of the British Crown and over 500 Māori chiefs. However, Waitangi Day has not always been celebrated, and in fact, before 1947, most celebrations of New Zealand's founding were held on January 29, the date on which William Hobson arrived in the Bay of Islands to issue the British Proclamation of Sovereignty. Annual commemorations of the treaty signing did not begin until 1947, over 100 years after the treaty was signed. The first ceremony was a low-key affair hosted by the New Zealand Navy at the treaty grounds. The ceremony was brief and featured no Māori representation. Meanwhile, it wasn't until 1952 that the Governor-General attended treaty commemorations, while the Prime Minister did not start showing up until 1958. Treaty commemorations were finally officially acknowledged by law with the signing of the Waitangi Day Act in 1960, while Waitangi Day was confirmed as a public holiday in 1974. Waitangi Day was also briefly renamed New Zealand Day between 1973 and 1976. Protest has been a constant feature of Waitangi Day right back to the initial signing, where some chiefs refused to acknowledge the Crown's right to rule. Since then, scuffles have taken place, mud and dildos have been thrown, the Queen had a T-shirt thrown at her, while former Prime Minister Helen Clark was reduced to tears. This year, dildos were not thrown, but Prime Minister Bill English controversially decided not to show up to Waitangi, while the lower Te Ti Marae was asking media for $10,000 if they wanted to film proceedings. As history suggests then, it wouldn't be Waitangi Day without plenty of surprises, protest or controversy, and this year was no different. On Sunday, Vice New Zealand held a panel discussion about Waitangi Day and what it means in 2017. I went along and spoke to one of the panellists, AUT lecturer Kylie Quince.
With me is Kylie Quince. She is a law lecturer at University of Auckland, and she gave an AUT, oops, sorry, I made a big mistake straight away. And she was one of the panellists speaking today on the talk on the treaty and Waitangi Day here at Golden Dawn. So I guess firstly, why do you think Waitangi Day is important, do you think?
Well, Waitangi Day is important because, of course, it's not only commemorating the Treaty of Waitangi, but who we are as a modern nation in Aotearoa New Zealand. So in terms of the treaty itself, it commemorates, for Māori people at least, it's sort of the widest range of emotions from anger, hurt, mamai, which we call, you know, sort of trauma about breaches of the treaty, but also celebration because it's an affirmation of our mana, of our sovereignty, of rangatiratanga. So it's also, you know, it also represents hope and potential. So it's all of those things all wrapped up in one. It's sort of this multi-layered celebration, commemoration, commiseration of who we are as Māori and Pākehā in New Zealand.
And when we celebrate a Waitangi Day, what do you think we should be reflecting on?
Well, I think all of those things. We should be reflecting on both the, you know, the past history of Māori and non-Māori in New Zealand, how they came to be here, reflecting on the relationship that we established, on the manaakitanga or host obligation ethic that we displayed in the negotiation and signing of the treaty. I mean, the treaty is like, if you think of the treaty as being like a porphyry, it's a ritual of encounter. It's us as the host tangata whenua of this nation opening the door to a conversation and relationship with other peoples. That's what we're commemorating. That's what it's about.
And why do you think it has become such a controversial day in recent times?
That's a really good question. I don't know that it is just in recent times. So the first thing I'd say is that Māori have always remembered the treaty, all Māori. And I don't mean just academic, educated Māori. Māori in the middle of the bush, in the middle of the country, everyone knows, learns, lives and breathes the treaty in everything that we do. It permeates our lives in a way that it doesn't for Pākehā and other non-Māori New Zealanders. So if we go back to why has it become controversial, it's always been controversial for Māori because we've always held it as the founding blueprint document of our relationship with non-Māori here. It's become controversial because the Pākehā only rediscovered it in the 1940s, which is why, you know, if you look at pictures of the literal facsimile of the treaty, it's got holes in it because it was eaten by rats. It's held in the archives because they didn't care about it. It's got water damage and rodent damage. Isn't that a fantastic metaphor for how the Crown viewed the treaty? It's irrelevant to them. They got sovereignty, they took over, that's it. The piece of paper goes to the, you know, goes to the water-infested, rat-infested basement of a building in Wellington. But it hasn't for Māori. So the fact that it was sort of reinvigorated in the past 50 years, you know, the idea of the treaty as being relevant, that meant that Māori get to air those grievances. We see that as a healthy thing. We don't see it as a negative thing. So it's controversial but not negative, you know, because that's the way that we, that's how we air grievances, it's how we solve problems, we talk around things, we're not conflict diverse. So, and I think it's controversial because in a lot of Pākehā culture, I think, culture as New Zealanders, we are quite uncomfortable with the idea of conflict and people disagreeing with one another.
What about the media? Have they played a part, I guess, in reinforcing sort of negative stereotypes around Waitangi Day in their reporting?
No doubt, everybody knows that controversial news makes good news. So they don't want to show the story of people. If you actually go to Waitangi on Waitangi Day, or you go to Te Marae, it has all of those aspects. There's a fantastic art. There's kapahaka. There's waka. There's it's basically the Māori universe on a day in a particular space. But they'll only focus on what they see as being conflict at the marae, on issues around who gets to speak, who gets to sit, where they get to sit, and all of those are viewed through through a Pākehā lens, but also through a very narrow lens. So they're only focusing on what they view as being conflict. We see that as being quite normal. And if you think about, for example, the way that, I mean, if you watch Māori TV or Māori media, you get a completely different view, in the same way that I think Māori TV has transformed the way that we see Anzac Day in New Zealand in just a few years. It's amazing. So I think the same thing could be done in respect of what is shown and what is deemed to be newsworthy in relation to Waitangi Day.
Have you been to Waitangi on Waitangi Day? What's it like?
Not for many years, but yes, I have, and it is. It's a festival. You know, we think of it as a Māori people flock there because it's a day of celebration. It's a day of commemoration, and it allows us to be who we are, to think about our tupuna that signed the treaty, to think about, and we do. We talk about the language that they used in terms of the negotiation and discussion, and we keep those hopes and aspirations that they had alive. And so we really do think of it as a living covenant, a living document. And Waitangi on Waitangi Day is all about that. It's a particular, and it's one of those times where we're tribal people. So it's where people of the north get to welcome all the other iwi to come and celebrate in the where we see as the birthplace of our nation.
What about the Prime Minister not attending this year?
That makes me furious. I'm absolutely infuriated. It's one day of the year. Again, the kōrero, the talk around it is a very negative interpretation of what he was offered. What he was offered is what any Māori, what any person would be offered in a pōwhiri that occurs on a marae. You know, there are set protocols, and he is granted the same respect that anybody else is. You know, and the general rule of engagement of encounter in the Māori world is the same as it is in the Western world. When in Rome, you do as the Romans do. And, you know, we're the guests. It's our protocol. So if he has to sit there, the fact that he doesn't understand our language is not our problem. But all of the protocol is exactly as it is for any other person. So he's given no more or less respect than any other visitor. But he was offered speaking rights. He was offered a time. It's just he would have to wait his turn, as anybody else would. So we offer mana to the institution of being Prime Minister. but he's still just a person. So you still have to slot into the tikanga, the law of that place, which is you sit through the protocol. If you go to church and you're an atheist, they don't, get all the boring stuff out of the way because you don't like it and you don't believe in it and you don't speak Latin. Tough tit, you turn up to church, you have to listen to church. You turn up to Parliament, you've got to engage with the rules of Parliament. As a solicitor, when I appear in court, the High Court rules apply. I have to sit in a certain place, I get to talk when I'm allowed to. It's exactly the same thing, The rituals of encounter provide different rules for different geographical spaces.
And what do you make of this idea that he wants to take it on the road, a bit of a Waitangi day on the road?
Not a bad thing necessarily, because, again, part of the education of New Zealanders around the treaty has to be around this idea that the treaty wasn't just signed at Waitangi, it was taken on the road. And so it was signed by nearly 500 rangatira or chiefs all over the country. And so I think that's probably not a bad idea. I think we might have an interest convergence here, but for different reasons. I think he's doing that to diminish the power of and the mana of the people of Waitangi itself. But in and of itself, I don't think it's a bad idea to spread the love and to think about how other people commemorate the treaty, different iwi, different hapu and other rohe or areas.
And just one last question. What does Waitangi Day mean for you?
Well, it's a holiday. It's a day of, it is a special day. But to be honest, as a Māori person, I think about the treaty every day. I don't think I'm any more or less engaged with the treaty on a professional or personal level than any other Māori. We think about the treaty. We are affected by the treaty every day. So it's one day. It's a special day that I like the fact that we have, that it is a national holiday, that we do get to. I mean, that gives some credence to the idea that it is the most important document in our nation. So that's a good thing. Other things I think about: Waitangi Day, it's Bob Marley's birthday, it's Axl Rose's birthday. So it's important for a wide variety of kaupapa.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.